Good morning.
Good morning.
What a nice group of people. The Holy Spirit is here in a very wonderful way. And I know that the Holy Spirit has already ministered to you. Some of you really felt the lifting of the Spirit in your being, and God just through that song, Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you! And even when you make mistakes, isn't it wonderful to know? I am so delighted because I make mistakes so much that I need the love and forgiveness of the Lord all the time.
Amen.
All the time. So you're wondering what we're doing here, the two of us sitting here, Pastor Wayne and Pastor Werner, and what are they up to this morning? Well, this morning we're going to talk about being a Barnabas church. And this is something that just we felt God put on our hearts to do, and we're probably going to tell a little bit about our story. And the worst that can happen, in about a half an hour, you can go and say, well, that was terrible. I don't think so. So, Pastor Wayne, just kind of start us off by telling us, in the book of Acts, we've been going through the book of Acts, who was Barnabas?
Well, Barnabas is, he's a fantastic fellow, I must say.
You like Barnabas.
I love Barnabas. I think he's one of my favorite characters. And so if you've been reading through Acts, Acts 4, Acts 9, Acts 11, you will have read about Barnabas. And I'm going to give you four quick points about him. He was a generous encourager. And the scripture says, Jose, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, and I love this, which is translated son of encouragement. They gave him a nickname, and that was it. A Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So he was a generous encourager. He was a good man. The Bible says in Acts 11:24, he was a good man full of the Holy Spirit and faith. So another great characteristic of Barnabas. He was a mentor and a partner in ministry to others. Primarily, you would remember Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, and John Mark. You may recall in the book of Acts how he mentored and helped him. And the Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord, this is Acts 13:2, and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. He was a team player. He was a partner and a mentor to Saul, who became Paul the Apostle. And finally, Barnabas was the kind of a man who saw the potential in others. For example, when the early church was afraid of Paul at first, wondering, is he truly converted? And they were afraid to bring him into their fellowship. Here's what the scripture says. Barnabas took Paul and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And that's Acts 9:27. Those four verses or passages give us a great snapshot of the kind of man that Barnabas was.
So in 1976, that marked for me one of the worst years of my life. It was probably my dark, dark moments, and I had been a missionary for 6 years in Spain, and I was really trying to kind of find my way. We came back, and through a series of circumstances, I just felt like I didn't have any idea how and where I would go, what I would be. I was so discouraged. I remember having a dream, and I came to Smythe Street Church, and I had left ministry temporarily in my life. And I came to Smythe Street, and I had a dream that I took a cab because I didn't have any money, and I took a cab and I came to Smythe Street, and I remember in the dream, the cab wouldn't drive into Smythe Street because he said, "I don't want to go in there." And I thought, well, and he said, if you wanna go in there, you just get out on the road. And he never even stopped. I had to jump out of the cab, and it was pouring rain. See, these things were very important to me at the time. And it was pouring rain, and I remember opening my umbrella up, and there was no canvas on the umbrella. It was just rods. And I was so frustrated. It was just a very frustrating moment in my life when I came to this church. And the people in this church, Wayne, put their arms around me and encouraged me and blessed me at a time when my wife and I, my family, were going through the absolute darkest moment in our lives. And so this church for me became a Barnabas church. I tell you what, the first job I had in this church, Frank Ward, who's sitting at the back there somewheres, I think he's still there. I can't see, it's a bit dark. Yeah, he has his head down trying to hide from me. But Frank Ward hired me to paint the back fellowship hall of the church. And I was desperate for money, and I worked away and painted. And then after a while, I helped a bit with the sound, and I helped a bit with different things. But this church came alongside of me and became a Barnabas church for me and encouraged me and lifted me up. And who would have thought in 1990, that was just a few years after that, that I would become the lead pastor of Smythe Street Church. And here we are, 32 years later, and you haven't gotten rid of me yet. You know, I think of that, and I think of the ways of God, in our lives. I never would have thought, and I think of the people that were there. How many of you here present? And I know some are watching on camera. I know that Greta is watching on camera, and I met this week with some, and I was just talking with some. I was talking to, let me see, who was it that was from Argyle Street way long time ago? Norm McDonald. Do you know he's turning 90 years old? 90 years old. And Norm, of course, talked to me about those days. But how many of you present here, if you wouldn't mind just standing up saying, you were here when I became the lead pastor of this church. I want to see my heroes. You guys over there, don't hide on me. Frank, get up there. And Chad was, how old were you, Chad? 10. And Karen, way at the back, you guys, do you realize that you put in, as senior pastor, a 34-year-old kid? What was going through your minds? But I want to thank you guys for being a Barnabas in my life. And thank you so much. Oh, yes, you guys were here. Oh, my goodness, are you that old? No, I'm serious. But Wayne, you came to this church as well.
Yes.
Tell us your story, well, how you got here.
I think it's wonderful that we can tell these stories because it's so affirming to our church, and it verifies the calling that is on our church because, kind of hit me right now a little bit, but I had the privilege of pastoring some great churches over the years, starting in 1979. My wife and I, who's here today, Brenda, and
Where is Brenda? Get her to stand.
She's right back here in the back of Section A.
Yeah.
And I learned so much, and deep roots of the moving of the Spirit and prayer were planted in my heart, and had the privilege of shepherding some great people. But in the 1990s, things were shifting in my heart a little bit, and I won't go into great detail, but sometimes God takes you down a road of transition, and sometimes people understand that road you're going down, and sometimes people don't. And sometimes people will espouse the transition. Sometimes people say, you're wrong. You're going down a wrong path. So consequently, what happened with me was that I no longer held to certain non-essential things, what I saw as non-essential. I came to a differentiating point with the church I was pastoring, and I knew it was time for a change. Well, what happened was that there was a disagreement with the path I was taking, so I tried to be gracious, and I stepped back and said, I'm not going to try to, you know, force this or pressure this with this congregation. But what happened was, what happened to me and my wife was we went into a time of feeling rejected. And it's one thing to feel rejected when you're doing something bad, you know, and you say, well, I know I brought this on myself and it's created this tension, whatever. But when you know you're following the will of God and you're following your heart, and people, there's a rejection factor, it stings. And what happened was it was a very challenging time. From 97 to 99, I felt suspicion from people who some were my longtime colleagues and friends. I felt there was disrespect, there was rejection, and it was a low point in our lives. And so we moved back to Fredericton, where Brenda had grown up here, and I had spent time here as well. And we came back, and Werner, much like your story, we came back needing some things in our life. They were affirmation, they were healing. We needed some healing, and we needed some purpose in our lives to be reestablished. And we made a connection.
I remember we were at a pastor's gathering in a church. It was a north side area pastor's gathering, and we were praying around the front, and I just briefly met Wayne. But wait a minute, you had come to our church once before that.
I had been here right about the time when Jared Inman had passed away. I was here for that funeral,
yes,
which I believe was in May of 99. And up until that point, although I knew, and of course my wife's roots on Argyle Street go way back, but you know, there was a long gap where I wasn't that familiar with the church congregation up until that was the first one connection we made.
Right, so I remember praying. And I remember the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I didn't really know him that well. And the Holy Spirit said to me, that man needs to work with you. And I thought, oh my goodness. And I went out to the car, and I told my wife as we got in the car, I said, I just felt this weird thing that the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, that man needs to work with me. And she said, well, you better get his phone number. And I went over and I got his phone number and I called him, and we just obeyed the Lord, and I invited him to be on our pastoral team at that time. And that was 21 years ago that this man has been serving in this church. What a journey. And this was such a different church than what you were used to.
It was a beautiful, scary transition. That's what it was. No, it was wonderful, actually.
But actually, your wife was raised in this church.
Yes, and so I with my wife's permission, and she's a little nervous that I'm going to tell too much right now, but I told her not to worry. But I'll just throw in a couple quick stories, because this affirms what we're talking about, what the spirit of Barnabas, a Barnabas church. So my wife did grow up indeed in Argyle Street. Her grandfather was a
founder. Argyle Street was the
previous
where this church was previously before we built this building.
And had some great pastors. Carolyn Post is here today who taught Brenda piano. I believe taught Betty Ann piano as well.
My wife piano as well.
And she was the her and her husband, Howard, pastored the church in Argyle Street. And previous to that, there was Allison Post, Howard's father, of course. Many of you would know the history. So Brenda grew up in this church. But then in the 70s, there was a beginning of a time where there was I don't want to call it a parting of the ways, but sort of where there was probably over 20 years that Brenda, partly a big reason because she met me and I was on a divergent path. We were going a kind of a different direction. And so there was a gap of 20 years where she was no longer connected with Argyle Street. We went into ministry. But here's a great thing about this story. In 99, when we were both hurting from feeling rejection, trying to find our path, our way, we came and we visited the church here, and she walked through the doors of the church very first time. And an individual from the Argyle Street Church, and who knew her, first words out of his mouth
well,
were...
Well, why don't we say who it was?
It was Frank Ward.
It's the same Frank Ward that gave me a jaw pain.
And the first words out of his mouth were, "Welcome home." And it's just like, it's like, wow. Because, you know, sometimes you go down a different path and you think, okay, welcome home. Another quick story, because I know you're going to mention some of these people. There was hurt, there was pain, trying to, and you know, when you feel rejection, even when you know you're doing the right thing, it hurts, it stings, as I said. Just shortly after that, Monty Lewis, who has now passed away, many of you remember Monty, he was an elder at our church besides leading Bridges of Canada, which was Cons for Christ. During a prayer time, we came forward in a service shortly after we had come here. And Brenda was at the front praying, and she was relating this story to me just recently. She said Monty came up to her and began to pray with her, and then he had a word for her. And he said, "You are fearful that you're going to face rejection again, because, you know, you're going to face that same kind of hurt." He said, "I have a word from the Lord for you, that you're in a place you can call home, you're in a place where you're safe, and you don't have to be afraid of rejection any longer." And that was a healing word that God used, if Monty, to speak to my wife. A Barnabas church embraces those kind of values.
Absolutely. Let me just deviate for 1 minute. Carolyn Post, would I embarrass you if I asked you to stand? This lady, no, you just stay standing a little bit. This lady here, she was the wife of one of the former pastors.
Howard.
When Brenda was here, this lady, here's what I feel the Lord would say to you. You are a treasure. You are a treasure. And inside of you, you have all kinds of treasures. Church, this lady here in our midst is a treasure from God. I want you to know that. She's always been behind the scenes with her husband and serving, and God has seen you all along. And everybody thinks of your husband, thought about your husband, but you, God looked at you and said, "You are a treasure." The second word is, you're beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And I know that you love to dress nice and everything. I know all that about you. But inside, you are one of the most beautiful people. And Jesus smiles at you and says, "You're gorgeous." May the Lord bless you. Now, we're not allowed to go hugging and everything, but I would encourage you sometime in the next future when we can hug, you go hug that lady. You go tell her that she's beautiful, because that is a gorgeous lady from God. And her husband just passed away not too long ago, and she moved to Fredericton, and she is coming to our church, and this is a treasure. This is a treasure. Amen. So, you mentioned Monty. Monty is one of those people that came here. And we were wondering what kind of individual has appeared in our midst. Because I tell you one thing, you guys don't know, a lot of you don't know Monty, but he was rough around the edges. But this church embraced him and launched his Cons for Christ ministry. In fact, upstairs was his office area for a long time. And God did a wonderful work, and this church was a Barnabas church that gave him and said to him, you come here, and we will stand behind you and bless you. And out of there came all kinds. We had prisoners coming to church, and you'd go, oh my goodness. I remember people coming, and we'd meet them in the foyer. Chad, I don't know if you remember, some of them with chains and what do you call them on your feet? What? shackles on their feet, and they'd come to church here, and we'd embrace them and love them. You remember that, Charlie? And we'd say, oh, my goodness, but we gave them a chance. We gave them a chance, and I think of people like Gerald Babineau. Oh, my goodness, Gerald Babineau. Gerald Babineau was the roughest guy you could ever imagine. You didn't know when something was going to come out of his mouth. You go, Jesus, help me. But Gerald Babineau was restored in this church, set free, and he became the first one that fed the hungry in downtown. And we still have the Gerald Babineau Fund. In fact, his funeral was the biggest funeral this church has ever seen. A guy that was an old trucker drunk and swore more. There was every third word was a swear word with Gerald Babineau. And God transformed his life. Dave and Karen Hardy, they're back there somewhere. You guys came here and God brought your ministry forward. And you guys were as wild as a hawk when you came here. But this church gave you an opportunity. I'm thinking of Al Ingram. I think I wrote some of these down. Katrina Phillips. How many remember Katrina? What a story Katrina had. And this church was a Barnabas church to them. So Wayne, what?
It's part of our DNA. It's what God has put on us as his mantle of restoration, encouragement, and loving people in
our
that
church is all. In fact, I remember people saying, well, if anybody will accept you, it'll be Smythe Street Church. they accept anybody. They accept anybody, you know. And I thought of the DNA of the ministry of Jesus. And I thought of this verse, Luke 19:10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, that which was broken, that which was discouraged, that which was feeling hurt, that which was feeling like they failed in their life. He came to lift us back up. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Amen. So, Wayne, let's talk about a Barnabas church. What does it look like?
It is a church that sees the potential in people. Not what they are, but what they can become. And they see what they are. They're not blind, but they see what they can become. And Barnabas was that kind of person. He saw in Paul what God had called him to be. He saw in John Mark, even though John Mark had failed and fell out of grace with Paul, Barnabas saw something in John Mark that was redeemable, so they see potential. Barnabas Church is not about prestige or position or power. What I find remarkable about Barnabas is that he was willing. He was willing. Now, Paul was becoming a very prestigious leader in the church, but Barnabas was willing for the sake of taking John Mark, whom Paul did not want to take on the second missionary journey. He said, no way, we're not taking that guy. He turned back the last time. Barnabas stuck his neck out for John Mark. And he said, instead of saying, well, I better be careful because, you know, it's pretty important for me to be hobnobbing with Paul the apostle. He said, fine, you go your way. He said, I'm going to stick with John Mark because this guy needs to be healed and get back into ministry. So, position, power, prestige,
you
doesn't
know,
matter.
I don't know if you're reading through the book of Acts, if you notice that when the story of Barnabas starts, it's Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas and Paul. And then all of a sudden it's Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. And then I notice in chapter 13, verse 13, it was Paul and his companions. And Barnabas was there and never even mentioned his name.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and so that's the character of Barnabas. It's not about me. It's about building others up.
Absolutely.
And it's just a beautiful, beautiful idea.
And a Barnabas church is willing to take a chance on people, which we've been saying today. And thank God you took a chance. You took a chance on this guy. You took a chance
that
on me.
That was a very risky thing.
Very risky. No, but a Barnabas church will take a chance on people and believe in them like Barnabas did for Paul and John Mark. And a Barnabas church walks with people. It's not just, you know, you say, Pop, I'll give you a few weeks or a few months, and if you don't make it by then I'm moving on. No, they walk with people patiently. In fact, Barnabas, he went to get Paul when he was in Tarsus, say, come on down to Antioch. because we need you to be involved here. They pursue, they walk with people, they mentor, they take the time to see God build their work through
and
them.
And a Barnabas church is a restorative church. It sees, it sees the potential in people and restores them. It heals them. It allows the person, you know, like sometimes we don't give the patience or the time to let God kind of build someone up, but they are restored, they redeemed, they believe that God can change lives.
Absolutely.
How many know that Jesus changed your life?
Amen. Praise
Jesus
God.
Jesus changed your life. And so it's not a matter of, look, that, you know, I remember one time somebody called a taxi out here, and they called 3 or 4 taxis. Which don't ever do that, please. That's not right to drive 3 or 4 taxis and then grab the first one and leave the rest with no driver. Just please don't do that. And the guy was outside mad, and he said, "Well, what kind of a church is this that you'd have people in there that would do that?" I said to him, "A church that has broken people, and we allow people to come because we're not a display of perfect people. We're a display of people who are on a journey with God. And every single one of us has had to have forgiveness.
Yes.
So God restores us." Wayne, there's
a, and
there's one more that we talked about.
Yes. A Barnabas church has an eye for the grace of God. And the scripture says this: when he came, this is Barnabas, he came, he was sent to Antioch to see what God was doing amongst the non-Jewish people, which was very new and amazing. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. So he had an eye. Instead of saying, "Well, what are these Gentiles doing coming into the church? I don't know. Is this kosher? Is this supposed to be happening?" You know, he saw the grace of God, and he was happy about what God was doing.
You know, I think of the word grace. You know, the word grace in the Bible is, it can be translated gift. It can be translated favor. And if we want to be a Barnabas church, how many want to be a Barnabas church?
Amen.
Yeah. No, that's not very good. How many want to be a Barnabas church?
Amen.
So what, one of the things, and it's key in this verse, can you just put that verse back again, up again? He saw the grace of God. So what do you see when you see people? Do you see their failures? Do you see the gift and the favor of God on them? And I look around this morning, and there's 3 minutes left of this morning. I looked at the clock just in case. But I look around this morning, and I'm looking all over here, and the grace of God, Wayne,
yes,
is on so many people. And God's favor, God's gifts. You take this lady back here on the keyboard. She came to our church. She was a nurse. And then it was suggested she'd be a music director. And I thought, well, she has no big formal training to be our music and creative arts director. But we saw the favor of God. We saw the favor of God on them.
Yeah.
And when you can see the favor of God on people, when you can see the potential, the grace, the gifts, every one of you has different gifts. And when you can see that, instead of seeing the defects, we all have defects. All of us have, except for Wayne.
We all have plenty.
We all have defects. But when you can see the grace of God on people.
Yes.
And then don't you see the grace of God on this man? Yeah. The grace of God on this man. So here's my question for you. I just by the way, this is the first time I've used an iPad for preaching, and I was scared, so I had notes just in case it closed on me. Let me ask you this question. Do you want to be that kind of church?
Yeah.
Do you want to be that kind of church that sees the favor of God on people? Pastor Wayne, you're gonna sing this song for us. It leads up to this word grace. And I'm gonna get you all to stand, and we're gonna just dedicate ourselves. I want you just for a second to put your hands on your eyes. Like, put your hands on your eyes and say, God, let us see the grace of God on people. Let us see the grace of God on people. Thank you, Jesus. Wayne, lead us in this song.
And scattered, mercy gathered, man empty-handed, but not forsaken. I've been set free. Amazing.
How sweet the sound, saving the rest like me. I once was,
but now I'm found. Come on, sing it with us. Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost. Oh, I once was lost. But now I'm found. You feel that? Blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you. Oh, I can see you now. Can they see that in you? I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, and you're raising up the broken to life. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Thank you, Lord, for your grace to save the wretch like me.
Me, oh yes, I once was lost. Thank God, but now I'm found. And I was blind, but now I see. I can see you now. I can see the love in your eyes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus,
laying yourself down, and you're raising up the broken to life.
You take our failure. Thank you, Jesus. God is present in this place. Amen. Sing these words with us.
You take our failure, you take our weakness, you set your treasure in jars of clay.
Make this your prayer.
So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see your life in me.
Sweet the sound
that and I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind,
but now
lift your hearts to the Lord, lift your hands to the Lord. I can see you now, I can see the love, I can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, you're raising up
broken to love.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. David, can you give me just a little more volume on this? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just love to see you raising your hands. That was so beautiful. Praise the Lord. God is touching your life. A lot of brokenness in you, and God is just healing you. I'm right, ain't I? You bet I'm right. God is touching you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you allow a couple of people just gather in with you? I want a couple of you just to gather with her and just pray with her. Come on, guys. Can we get over there? Right there. Right, come on. Are we waiting for it? Yes. Amen. Just pray with her. The rest of you, would you just for a moment just say, God, put a Barnabas spirit in us again as a church. I know that we haven't lost it. I'm not saying we've lost it, but I want to see that be the DNA of our church, that we see people restored, that we see people touched, that we see people ministered to, that we see people blessed of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you just raise your hands and let's pray. Father, fill this place with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. We make ourselves available to you, God. We make ourselves available to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Fill us with compassion. Fill us with grace. Fill us with mercy. Fill us with forgiveness. Fill us with the eyes to see the goodness and grace of God on people. May we see what God wants to do in someone, not just what they're going through at the time. Church, this has been a church where pastors have come and attended for a season and being healed here and gone back out. And we want to see that still happen. We want to see that happen. That we be people that encourages people. We're not here to build Smythe Street. We're not here to build Smythe Street. We're not here to be the biggest and the best and the most amazing church. We want to be a church that heals and blesses and encourages people. Amen? Amen? God bless you. I encourage you to give that your prayer. If some of you at the end of the service need to come for prayer, if you're watching online, you can text or call our number, 506-458-8206, and we'll make sure that we pray for you. But if you want prayer, as Pastor Wayne just sings that again, I want you to just come forward, and any pastors or elders here, you can come and let's pray for people. And if you would... That's how we're going to close the service. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. If you want prayer, just step right up to the front. There comes Bill. Bill's another one of those that came with broken stuff. And God is using him downtown. Praise the Lord, Bill. Good to see you, buddy.